The flight to Massachusetts went much more smoothly. Cecil insisted on going through security for himself. They were only detained twice this time. And sitting by the window on the flight so he didn't have to keep reaching to watch the clouds go by below. He was quiet, though, Carlos noticed. The only times he spoke were to comment on the interesting colours of the sunrise or help Rosa with her Sudoku puzzles to pass the time. Though Carlos assured him that the hardest part of gaining his grandmother's approval was over, Cecil still shifted his weight uncomfortably as they gathered up their bags on the snowy sidewalk outside the Vasquez residence. "It's like Marcus Vanston's neighbourhood," he said quietly as he chewed on his lower lip. "But with fewer chimneys." Carlos glanced at the imposing brick exterior and shrugged. "Don't let it fool you. My brother's pretty down to earth. He just thought it would be fun to make money in other people's sleep," he grinned. Cecil stared at him blankly. "That was a joke. My brother's an anesthesiologist, remember?" "Oh." Cecil looked no less confused. So Carlos just shook his head and knocked on the door, all the while silently swearing to find a better sense of humour. Their welcome the previous night was nothing compared to the parade of hugs and high-pitched exclamations that awaited them in the foyer. A half dozen uncomfortable cheek kisses later, Carlos finally managed to drag Cecil out of the grasp of his two aunts, who settled for asking Rosa all the details of the flight and the new young man, who currently looked very frightened as he clung tightly to and half hid behind Carlos.
"Carlito!"
A young woman squealed excitedly as she slid into the hallway. She was taller than Carlos, and her eyes were a pale hazel, but they shared the same charming smile.
"I feel like I haven't seen you in so long,"
she gushed as she hugged him tightly for a long time. Finally, she pulled away to take a step towards Cecil.
"You must be Cecil."
She covered her smile with her hand as she looked between the couple for a moment.
"Oh, I just love you already,"
she decided, as she pulled Cecil into a hug as well, though much more gently than the rest of the Vasquez family had so far. She reached for one of their bags and asked in a fluster,
"Where are my manners today? My name's Cassie. I'm Carlos's older sister, and this is Chris."
She nodded towards a tall, scruffy man who was laughing and patting Carlos on the back with slightly more force than was probably necessary. The man turned his attention to the radio host at the mention of his name.
"Cecil, is it?"
He offered a hand.
"It's good to finally meet you. Can't say we know much about you since you're the most mysterious one Carlos has brought home yet. And between you and me, that's saying a lot," he added in a loud whisper.
"Thanks, Chris," Carlos sighed.
I'm kidding. He's not brought home too many guys, and only a few girls," Chris winked.
"That's not better," the scientist muttered as his face flushed.
"You leave him alone. He just got here. And don't be a complete waste of space. Help me get these bags upstairs."
Cassie threw a duffel in his direction in an attempt to catch him off balance, but he just laughed.
"What is it you do, Cecil?"
he asked as he swung the bag over one shoulder and reached for the handle to the suitcase.
I host a radio show," Cecil stammered, completely shell-shocked by the sudden onrush of introductions.
"Radio, eh? You don't see a lot of people in that line of work these days. But that's probably because radio isn't a visual communication medium."
"I see where Carlos gets his sense of humour," Cecil offered weakly.
"I like you,"
Chris announced with a laugh as he dragged the suitcase upstairs and out of the conversation.
"Don't pay him any attention. He talks twice as fast as he thinks. If he teases you, you've made his good side, so welcome to the family."
Cassie smiled and gave a reassuring squeeze to Cecil's shoulder.
"The kids are all out in the back playing in the snow. Sandra's been asking about you for hours."
she tossed over her shoulder as she followed Chris up the stairs with what was left of their luggage. From the corner of the hall, a slight woman watched the introductions wordlessly. Although there was a serene smile on her lips, her dark eyes were cautious as Carlos slowly approached. The scientist hesitated the briefest moment before giving her a careful hug. "Thank you for inviting us for Christmas." He reached back for Cecil, who was still hiding mostly behind him. "Isabel, this is Cecil. Cecil, Isabel." "You have a lovely home," Cecil said warmly, casting a glance to the tasteful garlands twisted around the sweeping staircase in the foyer. "I've never seen so many lights inside before." Isabel's smile widened slightly.
"Thank you. I should be getting back to check on lunch, but feel free to make yourselves at home,"
she offered quietly, before slipping back into the kitchen. Carlos let out a relieved little sigh. "Now the definite worst is over," the scientist whispered. Taking Cecil's hand, he pulled him through the house's sprawling hallways, stopping in front of a set of French doors that led to a patio, an expansive backyard in which several children played in the still falling snow.
"How are you holding up? I know they can be a bit intimidating at first."
Cecil just shrugged. "It's a lot of names. I don't know if I can keep everybody all straight," he admitted. "You think there's a lot of people now, just wait until the cousins get in this afternoon. 6 of them, 5 with significant others, somewhere near 10 kids now between them. I find it's better if you try to just think of it in groups." Carlos pointed out to a group of 3 children rolling the lopsided base of a snowman. "You see the one in the blue? That's Lena, Chris's oldest. It's short for Magdalena, named after my mother. The one in the green and the one in the pink making the snow angel? That's Ava and Angela, his younger two. They're twins too. Everyone says it skips a generation, so that was a fun surprise. Chris is married to Isabel. Their kids don't really like me, but that's probably because Isabel doesn't really like me all that much." Carlos shrugged. "The other girl with the brown coat and the little boy catching snowflakes belong to Cassie, Alessandra and Nicholas. As much as Chris's kids don't like me, Cassie's kids do." "And who is she married to?" Cecil asked as he wrinkled his nose in concentration.
She was married. Alex isn't here this year, though. They were always fighting. A fire and ice type of thing. It's her first Christmas since they split, and she's really lucky she got to bring the kids," Carlos said quietly.
"So, you want to meet them?" No sooner had they stepped out onto the patio than Alessandra and Nicholas took off stumbling towards them with excited squeals. Nicholas was the first to reach the pair, and he threw himself straight into Carlos's arms. The scientist swung him around in a little circle that elicited a bright giggle.
"I can't believe how big you are now. How old are you?"
The little boy held up 4 pudgy fingers proudly.
"Not yet,"
Alessandra squeaked indignantly, hands on her hips.
"You're only 3 and a half.
"Almost 4, Carlos corrected with a kiss to Nicholas's forehead before setting him back on the ground and kneeling down to Alessandra's height. "And that would make you almost 6. The girl blushed and twirled the end of her braid. Nicholas peered up curiously at Cecil with bright blue eyes before making up his mind and going straight for a tight hug to the man's legs. The 3 girls beyond them continued to work on assembling the snowman, but a few curious looks began to wander their way.
"Who are you?" Alessandra asked, less trusting of the newcomer.
Carlos had been debating what exactly to tell the children to help them make the connection.
"This is Tio Cecil," he said, settling for the more easily recognizable words.
"You got married?"
Alessandra asked with a disbelieving little smirk. Cecil dropped down to her level so she could examine him closer. Not married, Cecil shrugged, lifting the explanation from the scientist. But I do love him, so it counts. Alessandra poked at his cheeks, his glasses, ran her fingers through a lock of his wavy hair.
I like your hair, she decided finally.
And I like yours, he replied, with a touch to her long, dark braid. Did you do that yourself?
Mm-hmm. Mama just taught me how, she beamed,
blinking her long, dark eyelashes shyly. By now, the bystanders had given up on their snowman and were creeping ever so slightly closer to the group for some introductions of their own. Eventually, there was a small crowd surrounding Cecil, asking where he'd come from and why he was wearing such a big coat for such a little amount of snow, and if he liked building snow people. Carlo slipped back inside after a while, not surprised a few minutes later to peek out the window and see Cecil giving piggyback rides to one of the twins. Again, those same thoughts crossed his mind, that someday maybe they could have their own little family. As always, he tried his best to shake them away, but he couldn't entirely shake away the smile. There were surprisingly few incidents until later in the afternoon. Carlos was listening to one of his uncles talk with Chris about a muscle car they had found on an online auction when Cassie found him.
Something's happened with Cecil. We were making cookies, and I swear if I had known he was allergic, I would never have given it to him.
She rushed as she pulled him into the kitchen. Allergic? Cecil, what's happened? He asked quickly. How long till we know? Cecil asked coolly in response. Know what? There is wheat in the cookies, Carlos. The people at Mission Grove Park. How long until we knew they were contaminated? Carlos bit his lip and tried to find the most gentle wording. The silence was wording enough. I'm guessing it's not like that here, Cecil realized with a shake of his head. I'm not doing very well, am I? You're doing fine. It's a lot of little changes. You can't expect to memorize them in a list and remember them all, Carlos reassured him. He glanced around for the offending cookie, which sat harmlessly on the granite countertop. As he lifted what was left of it, he vaguely recognized the dark-colored icing and the white sigils and patterns piped along the shape of the gingerbread man. On the opposite counter, there were several more similar little shapes, all carefully detailed. Cecil, did you do these? They're wonderful. Cecil brightened immediately. Cassie was telling me that angels are a part of Christmas tradition here. I don't know how accurate these are since no one is technically aware of their hierarchy and also because these are just cookie replicas, but I think it's a lovely tradition. Can I have one? Carlos asked as he reached for an angel that peeked up at him through seven little white eyes. Cecil nodded enthusiastically now that he was certain the treats were safe for consumption. You want to come sit with me in the living room? Carlos asked as he took a bite of the much-missed wheat product. Actually, Cassie and I are going to make fudge, right? Cecil bubbled.
Absolutely,
Cassie confirmed as she stepped around them to pull more trays from the oven. There's no wheat in fudge, is there? Cecil whispered as she turned back to the sink. Carlos leaned up and kissed Cecil on the nose. No, baby, there's no wheat in fudge, he laughed as he left them to it. Before the fudge had even cooled, sticky little fingers had sneaked their way into the kitchen to steal a snitch. And while they were at it, a new playmate. A very long and discreet game of hide-and-seek kept Cecil well hidden for most of the afternoon. But somewhere between the arrival of Tio Cisco with 21 more relatives from the airport and one of the cousins somehow drinking a bit too much on the plane and starting a very loud argument in Spanish, Cecil managed to disappear entirely. In the general chaos of people throughout the house, Carlos didn't realize he had gone missing until dinner time rolled around and everybody was finding their place at the table. The scientist found his boyfriend upstairs in their guest bedroom, quietly staring out the window at the patterns the moon made on the smooth blanket of snow on the street below. "I've been looking all over for you. We're just getting dinner on the table." "I'll be down in a minute," Cecil said softly. Too softly. Carlos wandered over to the window and peeked up at him. His hair was carefully messed up and all brushed down at an awkward angle that nearly covered his eyes. The sleeves of his jacket were pulled over the backs of his hands, and he looked altogether very lost. "You still doing all right?" "I'm fine. It's just loud down there, and there's a lot of people." Cecil tried to smile, but it didn't stick. It was clear that there was something else bothering him. "Are you sure that's all?" Carlos pressed gently. "I like your family," Cecil finally admitted. "I just wonder if this is what it would have been like for me growing up if things had gone differently, if my mom hadn't disappeared and I hadn't wound up alone. I mean, don't get me wrong. On New Year's Eve, I can see the fireworks perfectly from Josie's rooftop, and I'm proud to call her my family. I just wish I had gotten the chance to have a family like this," he finished quietly. "Well," Carlos said after a long moment, "we're not incredibly functional all the time, and my cousin Martin drinks too much, and sometimes we yell at each other even when we're not upset. But we're a family and we love each other, and you're welcome to be a part of it if you'd like." "Do I have to yell in Spanish?" Cecil asked with a laugh as he wiped at one of his eyes beneath his glasses. Carlos took his hand and led him down the stairs to the dining room. "Don't worry, I'll teach you only the most creative insults." Dinner didn't make things too much better. They had squished together a mishmash of card tables and end tables to seat everyone at once, excepting the children, whose giggles drifted out from the kitchen. If the scientist had worried about anyone being insensitive or rude, it was his cousins, for whom the adjectives were more a trait of their personality at this point. Between Carlos and Cassie, Cecil was able to get rough translations of the general conversation emanating from the other end of the long dinner table. But it didn't stop Cassie from trying. Being a fair amount of loud herself, she made frequent attempts to shift the language of the conversation, or at least bring focus back to the newcomer everybody knew so very little about. A fortuitous lull in the conversation presented her with a perfect opportunity.
"So, Cecil, what's life like where you call home?"
she asked loudly, even though he was sitting right next to her. "Well," he began, smoothing his voice into his most professional radio tones, "life is quite different from here." In the moment that he hesitated to find a safe way to explain Night Vale without sounding too unusual, a good fraction of his audience lost interest and went back to quiet chatter. "The desert is a lot warmer than here. Most people believe snow to be a myth, in fact." His voice grew a bit unsteady as the murmur claimed a few more listeners.
The stars are brighter. Or maybe there are more of them. I'm not sure, actually. By now, only a few people at their end of the table were even paying attention. Sometimes people back home, they spontaneously just... The sentence stopped at the sound of fork tines tapping glass. Chris stood at the end of the table, and with an adoring look down at Isabel, made an excited announcement of a new little addition to their family.
We don't know if it's a girl or a boy yet, but we're hoping to finally paint the nursery blue, he finished, to a clamour of congratulations.
Carlo smiled, but kept his thoughts to himself. It was absolutely not that he wasn't happy for his brother. It was more that every step of his life had been outdone. His graduation from college had been dwarfed by Chris being accepted into med school. His earning of a government grant outshone by Chris completing his residency and being licensed to practice independently. And now that Carlos had Cecil, the one thing in his life that he was most proud of, it only made sense that Chris would have news to overshadow even that. Even if, after all these years, he was used to it, Cassie was not about to give up that easily. She waited for a polite amount of excited chatter to quiet down before again, very loudly, bringing the attention back to her little brother.
I would like to know how you two met,
she announced brightly. It was slightly too successful at silencing the table too quickly. Carlos had been entirely lost in his thoughts, and consequently stuttered considerably. Well, it was my first day in Arizona. I gave a press conference and met a group of the town's most important people afterwards. Cecil's important to the town. So that's how we met, he finished awkwardly. Cecil gave him a funny look. Honey, I love you, but I think that's the worst version of that story I've ever heard. And I should know, since I've told most of the versions in circulation myself. There was a small ripple of laughter around the table. Okay, how would you tell it? Cecil straightened in his chair and folded his hands on the table in front of himself, just like he did during his broadcasts. It was a warm and sunny Friday in June when Carlos, wonderful and perfect, came to town. There was, in fact, a press conference after which I did meet him, but I knew I was a lost cause right away. In fact, all it took was one smile, one brilliant, perfect smile, for me to fall instantly in love. A brief chorus of ahs from the ladies and a parody from Chris echoed around the table. Cecil had slipped seamlessly into his storytelling persona, all precise words and perfectly timed pauses and little bits of conveniently placed humour. For the first time since they'd left, he almost seemed like himself again. I think for a long time I scared you, Cecil continued with an amused expression. Carlos couldn't help but laugh as he nodded. But we became friends eventually, and he would talk about science and I would pretend to understand all the big words because I wanted him to think I was smart. Another pause as the listeners chuckled. The silence stretched on a moment too long as Cecil lost an ounce of his composure. One day, there was a... It was exactly 1 year later when... I was in an accident, Carlos finished for him. He hadn't mentioned anything about the bowling alley incident to his family, because they worried about him enough with what little contact he could manage to get past the city limits. I had a close call, and it made me realize that life is too short to be afraid of taking chances. So I guess that was when I knew too. For a moment, he was quiet enough to hear a pin drop. But Martin was quick to change that.
Damn. And I thought it was cool that Leah and I met on the cracker aisle at Kroger.
The table erupted back into rambunctious laughter, as glasses were emptied and dishes stacked. Carlos caught his sister's eye and mouthed a thank you before joining in the clean-up. After his bit of storytelling at dinner, it seemed that Cecil was suddenly the subject of quite a bit of attention. He was immediately spirited away from his volunteer dish duty to help hang lights on the porch with some of the younger cousins, especially 17-year-old Anna, who seemed eager to spend as much time as physically close to him as possible. Carlos volunteered to take his place in the assembly line dish process, thankful that it would give him time to talk somewhat privately to Cassie. Seriously, thanks for helping out at dinner tonight. The trip's been a bit rough for him so far, Carlos said as he dried a plate and handed it to Cassie to place in the cupboard. Coincidentally, what's your opinion?
Well, he's a lot different than I expected from your descriptions. He's great, don't get me wrong. Incredibly sweet and charming in an odd way. But he seems so timid, as if he's actually afraid of eye contact. And when I held his hand to say grace at supper, he acted like I'd burned him. It's just surprising.
She shrugged. I'm pretty surprised myself. I mean, Cecil's the least shy person I've ever met. I'm thinking he's just a little overwhelmed. He doesn't come from a large family, or really any family to speak of. Cassie made a sad little sound as she lifted another plate into the cupboard.
So that's why he was telling me while we were working on the fudge that he's never had a Christmas before.
Slipping into the mum role she had adopted so often when Carlos was growing up, she suddenly shared an idea.
What does Cecil like? Chris is taking all the kids to the mall tomorrow morning for pictures with Santa. Cecil has to go along because he says he has to go buy something specific, but while they're out, why don't we pick him up something fun?
No, Cassie, Carlos insisted. We don't do presents. Boxes and paper and bows and everything. We just don't.
She dismissed his protests with a look that told him she was planning on going through with her idea whether he helped her or not. With a sigh, he decided resisting was futile.
He collects a lot of things. Cheap trinkets, colourful coffee cups, horrible sweaters, packs of playing cards.
Give me something specific.
He likes cats? Carlos shrugged. He has a dog, but most everything else in our house is cats. But really, presents aren't a thing, Cass. It's not a good idea.
Cassie messed up his hair affectionately.
You've forgotten that all my ideas are good ideas.
She winked.